In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Passover Lamb to deliver us from all sin, from death, and from the power of the devil, dear fellow redeemed in His precious blood. We are all familiar with our own traditions, and we celebrate them. While there may be differences between family traditions, generally speaking, Thanksgiving means turkey, maybe ham, and stuffing, mashed potatoes, and gravy, pumpkin pie for dessert. If you're Norwegian, the meal probably also includes lefse or some other dessert. I don't know how many people still celebrate Christmas with a Christmas goose, but we all have our favorites when it comes to Christmas cookies and Christmas desserts. We are, however, less familiar with the ethnic traditions and meals of others and their historical connection. I doubt that any of us spent the afternoon roasting a lamb whole and planned to eat it this evening after worship with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. We are only vaguely familiar with the Passover meal as it is described in Holy Scripture. This evening, it is not our purpose to share the recipe once used by the Israelites. It is our purpose, however, to see in that meal that they ate, and in the Lord's Supper, the Lord Jesus Himself. It is our purpose to compare the shadow, the Passover, with the substance, Christ. May God the Holy Spirit strengthen our faith in Jesus and His willing sacrifice through these words. Amen. It must have been a fearful time in Egypt. It was fearful for the Israelites because they were slaves, forced to do hard labor. Since they were a larger people than their captors, the Egyptians made it illegal to give birth to a son, and if a male child was born, its life was to be taken away. It was also a fearful time for the Egyptians, though. Moses, who had been raised in Pharaoh's own home and returned with the Lord with him, demanding that the Israelites be set free. The demand itself, brought by Moses, wasn't fearful, but the consequences of Pharaoh's repeated no did become frightening. The Lord struck the waters of Egypt, and they became blood and stank. The Lord caused a plague of frogs to cover the land of Egypt. Then lice as thick as the dust of the earth. Then flies in clouds so thick that they nearly blotted out the sun. Then the Lord struck the livestock of the Egyptians so that they died. The Lord struck the Egyptians themselves with boils, which couldn't have been fun. Then hail destroyed the crops of the Egyptians, and the locusts ate what remained of those devastated crops. And then darkness came so thick that no one could get out of their beds for 3 days. Yeah, fearful time indeed. And yet Pharaoh stubbornly refused the Lord's demand to let the Israelites go. God's patience with Pharaoh was finally over, and he revealed to Moses the final plague that was to come: the death of the firstborn of man and beast in all of the land of Egypt. But the threat did nothing to persuade Pharaoh. The final terrible plague was about to come upon all of Egypt. But God was merciful to the Israelites, and He established the Passover meal as both a means of deliverance and a memorial meal of God's great deliverance for future generations. Turns out, their rescue would be brought about by means of a lamb. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat. You shall make your count for the lamb. While the fifth plague destroyed the livestock of the Egyptians, the livestock of the Israelites was healthy and alive. The Passover lamb was to come from among their livestock. A lamb for everyone. Every man was to take a lamb for his household, and if his household was too small to consume it, then they were to gather together with their nearest neighbors and friends to consume it together. The Passover lamb was for everyone, not just for a select few. The lamb was also to be a one-year-old male, physically perfect, without defect. For the Lord said, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." We may wonder to ourselves, what did it matter if the lamb had a broken leg or was deformed in some way, if they were only going to sacrifice it and eat it? Well, while the lamb was ultimately a benefit to every household, it was first and foremost a lamb for God, chosen for him as a sacrifice. And the Lord didn't accept the injured and the lame. They could take from the sheep or the goats, but the Lord, either way, deserves the best. It had to be healthy and sound. For it was the lamb whose blood the Lord promised would deliver them from that final plague of death. "Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." So you see, the Passover lamb wasn't just a meal. They were also to take the blood of the animal and use it to paint the doorposts and the lintel, the header over the door. This was not to give their homes a little color or a gory warning to the Egyptians. It was a sign that those within the house believed God's promise to deliver them from death by means of the blood of the lamb. It was a sign that they believed the Lord would pass over their houses and not bring death upon them because of the blood of the lamb. And this wasn't to be a one-time event either, but a yearly memorial of God's great deliverance of the Israelites from slavery and death in Egypt. And so to this very day, the Jews still celebrate the Passover. They still do these things. For the Lord commanded, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." So the Passover was a lamb for everyone, a lamb without blemish, a lamb for sacrifice, a lamb whose blood would deliver, a lamb to serve, to to remember. And so it also happened on Maundy Thursday, when the day came for the Passover lamb to be sacrificed, as you heard in our first scripture lesson this evening, or second rather, that Jesus sent Peter and John into Jerusalem with these instructions: "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished, prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And there in the upper room, we're familiar with it, Jesus and his disciples gathered to eat the Passover lamb. Peter and John had roasted it whole, as it was described in the book of Exodus. There was unleavened bread and bitter herbs, which served to remind them of their forefathers' bitter taskmasters in Egypt. And it was traditional to review and to remember that great deliverance of the Lord, accomplished by means of the blood of the Lamb. And it was after that meal that Judas Iscariot went out to obtain soldiers to arrest Jesus. And then Jesus instituted another meal that serves to stand as a memorial of God's greatest deliverance of all, not merely of the Israelites, but of all of humankind. For Jesus took up unleavened bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples. They had eaten the lamb. But now the one that John the Baptist called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins." It was traditional during the Passover meal to take up a cup of wine and pass it around the table, seeking God's blessing, remembering God's great deliverance. But after that meal was over, Jesus took up another cup and declared, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And this new meal was also to be repeated by those who believe. And so we do again this evening. And the same Jesus comes to each of us in his word to comfort us again, confirming again that he willingly gave his body and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. And this blessing is ours, not merely because John the Baptist declared him to be the Lamb of God, but because after instituting his supper, Jesus got up and left the upper room, and to Gethsemane he went, and then to the cross, and then to the grave. For you see, God doesn't accept the injured and the lame, the sinful for sacrifice, but only the healthy and the sound, only the one whom he's declared, "In him I am well pleased." And that sacrifice was perfect and pure, within, without, without blemish, and without spot. And only his blood would suffice as the ransom for every sin. And so the Apostle Peter was prompted to write by the Holy Spirit, "You were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." Jesus is the lamb that God chose for everyone. He, like the scapegoat, bore our sins all the way to the cross and grave to release us forever from them and their consequences. And then, like the Passover lamb whose bones could not be broken, his bones were not broken. Jesus, the lamb of sacrifice, delivers us by his blood. For it is written, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is the Lamb that brings about God's ultimate deliverance, not from a nation of men, but from the power of Satan, from the burden of sin, and from the threat of eternal death. For you see, the Passover lamb is the shadow, is the picture. Jesus, the lamb, is the substance, who takes away the sin of the world, who really does deliver by means of his blood. The Passover meal is a shadow, a picture. But the Lord's meal, in which the Lamb gives to us of his body and confirms our deliverance through his blood, that's the substance. Is it any wonder then that the song of salvation recorded in the book of Revelation goes like this? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.